Welcome to Pault on Power, Power System Design's podcast on power and power design, and I'm your host, Alex Pault. Today, we've got Bill Laumeister. He's an application engineer with Maxim, and we're going to talk about power, but especially power on reset. Hi, Bill. Welcome to the show.
How are you doing?
Oh, thank you. Doing well. Glad to have you here. Now, power on reset, it comes off the tongue pretty easily. It sounds like a nice pat thing, but, you know, as with most things in engineering, obviously the rest of the iceberg's under the water. Can you tell me a little bit about your perspective on it?
Yes, as silly as it sounds, the biggest problem with power on reset is you must turn the power off before you can have the power on reset work. I know that sounds kind of ridiculous, but the reality is, most devices, especially ones that have digital content of some sort, microprocessors, registers, whatever it is in it, they come up and they can come up in random order. And so in order to put them into a known condition, you fire off a power on reset system. And that usually involves taking a voltage above a threshold and then also waiting for some period of time to make sure the power is good before you actually put the device into the reset condition. Now, this all takes place, can be in microseconds or even milliseconds, and things like that. But the main thing is that if you don't have the proper slope on your power supply, and there's no way to know what a power supply slope looks like. I mean, it's like saying, I'm going from a valley up to a mountain and back down the other side. What's the territory look like? It can be anything. It can be fast or slow or who knows.
Right.
We try to build the reset circuit in order to handle the majority of those conditions. But the place where it fails is when the customer thinks they turned off the power. So they turn off the main power, but there's a bunch of capacitors on multiple power supplies, and so some power supplies go down faster than others. So they turn the power off, and then they turn it right back on again.
Right.
The chance that on at the other end, the power hasn't gone down enough to trigger the circuit.
Right. Well, I was about to say, Bill, one of the examples that, you know, springs to mind immediately, because I keep referring to my audiophile days, you turn off the power amp and it takes a while for the lights to go off because the cap's got to drain. And it used to be a note of pride the longer it took for your system to go out after you switched it off, because it meant you had really big caps in your amplifier. But in this case, it's kind of counterproductive to the desired result, I imagine.
Well, you know, and so you're a linear power supply guy, obviously, because if you're an audiophile, you don't want a switching supply.
Exactly.
So what happens is, let's just arbitrarily say that we're going between ground 5 volts with a power supply, and we're going to give some arbitrary numbers for some thresholds, just for illustration. So let's say the 5-volt supply dips down to 4 volts and goes back up. Well, all the non-volatile registers and things are just fine. The voltage hasn't gone down far enough to make them forget and do anything.
Right.
And so that works. But now let's say you drop the voltage down to 3 volts and you come back up. But part of those registers have forgotten and they're in the wrong conditions. You know, all kinds of weird things could happen that you'd never know about. But the power on reset doesn't work because you haven't gone down far enough. Let's say you have to go down to 2 volts, 1.5 volts, and then come back up before the power on reset gets triggered. And so there's that in-between area where you can be where the power supply doesn't go down far enough and the device is confused. And
right. Now, this is most applicable to an individual device, but I could imagine that impacting performance of devices in a network.
Absolutely. Yeah, and, you know, so if you're powering something, let's say that you're powering something over Ethernet, but you really need more power than is available because of the resistance of the wires. And so let's put a super cap out at the other end of the device, and we charge that super cap for a long time, and then we draw momentary power from it. Well, if I turn off power at the main end, that super cap's going to stay charged for a long time.
Right.
You know, those are one of the things you need to know in a system.
That's a very good point. But, and also, I would say also with any other expanded network of devices that have to rely upon one another, just timing issues in general are critical when it comes to that type of a case.
Yeah, and power supplies is not something, an area where people really do a lot of thought about how they come up and come down. They might sequence them. In But then, otherwise, they don't think about it. They say, well, okay, I need an X watt supply, and I need an X watt supply of these different voltages, and they put that out there. And generally, they'll make them robust enough so that they come up pretty fast.
Mm-hmm.
And it's only in a case where if you have a motherboard or something where it is necessary to bring things up at different times that you really do timing.
Right, right. Now, okay, so now I'm an engineer trying to design a product. What are my design considerations that impact on that beyond just simply remembering I've got caps and other potential parasitics in my system that could, like through the diodes or something, that could power my system while I'm expecting it to be shutting down? Are there things that can be directly done to address it?
Yeah, let's talk about the parasitic issue. If we're using CMOS logic, and one logic pin on a device is held high,
mm-hmm.
the top ESD diode will be forward biased, and you'll actually power the device off of that one input. And that's really a danger that gets young engineers. They will forget about that. And then the logic will work in some really strange ways sometimes, and they can't figure out what's going on. So anytime there's something strange, look for a floating gate, look for a gate that's held up. In other words, for instance, you have a microprocessor in the system, and it's running on the standby supply, and it's on all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And you want to have a remote control now so you can turn on and off the rest of the system. We have to make sure you isolate the outputs from that microprocessor that are high from CMOS logic that's turned off. And by doing that, then we can ensure that the rest of the system actually will be off and will respond to its own local power on reset commands.
Mm-hmm. That makes a lot of sense. So, please go ahead.
The other area that they might get themselves into trouble is with turning off the power supply for a very short period of time, and it can be milliseconds. There's sometimes strange things that happen. For instance, if you're going to have a supply system that has uninterruptible supply, and you, for some reason, there's a time when you switch from the power line to battery backup, that there's an interruption in the power that can be a few microseconds or milliseconds. Have to make sure that that little bit of interruption doesn't ripple through the rest of the supply. In other words, the system has to have big enough capacitors to flywheel through that and not do a partial reset, because the worst thing you want in the world is you have a system and some percentage of the devices are reset, and some aren't, and some are in unknown conditions.
Mm-hmm. So now, seeing that you're with Maxim, I imagine Maxim's got various things, design aids, reference designs, devices that can help the engineer.
Well, we have a variety of things. Everything from monitoring devices that sit with a multiplexer and look at various supplies and have them A-to-Ds and are able to monitor the levels and make sure that things are sequenced properly, things like that. But also, one of the things that I do is whenever I have a customer that or two customers that ask the same question, then that means we should write an application note. Well, it's a good way to figure it out, you know. And so that's one of the things I do to help. And so I've got a series of different notes that help customers understand these issues and be aware of them. And once you're aware of them, then you can do something about it. And the biggest problem that we have in the world today is that the schools are pouring out people that know about computers and digital stuff, and the analog engineering is not taught very well, very long. It's going to be a small part of the course. And so then the guy gets out in industry, and all of a sudden they say, well, do this analog design, and he paints, right? It's just like, what do I do now? And
exactly.
So, you know, it's having enough application notes to help people understand what the pitfalls are and avoid them.
Exactly. Well, that's great. Is there a specific URL they can go to, or they just go to the home page and they can drill down from there?
Well, I'll tell you the trick that I tell them to do is go to the homepage, go to the search line, and type in my last name.
Well, why don't you? It's Maxim.com, I imagine, is the.
It's actually Maxim Integrated, all one word, .com.
And your last name, spell it out again for us, please.
L A U M E I S T E R.
Excellent.
So, you you add something to it, like, you want to know about ESD, you want to know about CMOS, you know, it'll find those notes for you. And in a lot of my notes, I reference prior notes that have been done in the last 29 years. So that by going to one of my notes, you can find the other ones easily.
Wow, and a 29-year knowledge base, that's pretty elaborate.
Yeah, it's amazing. You know, Maxim is an amazing place to work, because they've got a lot of really smart people to interact with, and really nice people, too. But one of the silly things is that over the last 29 years, Maxim has averaged a new part every day.
Wow.
That's an amazing record. They've spent a lot more in engineering money than many of the competitors. So it's really a fun place to work.
Well, I'll let you get away. You sound so sincere about it. I'll let you get away with that big plug for Maxim as a place to work. But I do sincerely appreciate you giving us that information on Power Run Reset, because, you know, that's something that hasn't crossed my mind, is that it's got to be really off before you can turn it back on again. You know, it sounds like a fundamental axiom, but you think about it, you don't really think about it.
Yeah. Thank you so much.
Oh, the pleasure is mine, Bill. And I'd like to thank everybody out there in the audience for having to take the time with us today. We wouldn't be able to do this if it weren't for you all participating. So this is Alex Pault for Pault on Power. Have a great day.